If you'll turn your scriptures to Matthew 13, probably a passage you're familiar with. If you want to follow along, the Bible should be behind the pews and stacked up in the corners in the back of the church. Yeah, Matthew 13. Morning's message is about master gardening. And the emphasis is not on gardening, you know, being really good at gardening. It's that the master, Jesus, doing his gardening in us. And the question we have to face this morning is, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil is your heart? We're going to look at this message that Jesus gives us, and he lays out the four different kinds of soil. Matthew 13, we begin with verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, whoops, I think I'm starting too far.
One verse out, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word. And the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. He who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 30, and some 60. So we have these four different kinds of soil. We have the hard soil, the rocky soil, the weedy or thorny soil, and the fertile soil. And interestingly, only one in four bears fruit, yeah. But we don't want to be discouraged by this, because you might be questioning yourself, well, what kind of soil is my heart? Where am I in that picture? Well, let's look at the soils a little bit. You know, when the gardener, the master gardener comes along, you know, they have many skills. There's not just one thing that they do. They have an objective in mind for the plants. They selectively and purposefully pick out the kind of plants they want based on what kind of fruit or product they want to produce, want to see born out of it. They consider the conditions of the light, how much water there is, the temperature, but most importantly, the soil. Soil is critical. So we have these four kinds of soil. One of them is this hard soil, the soil that's along the pathway where people have walked. You know, we've seen it. We know what it looks like. Along our roadsides, you have these shoulders, and it's just packed hard. And in many ways, our hearts can be hardened like that too. You know, the seed is thrown, it just bounces off the ground, or just lays there, birds come along and eat it up. You know, that might represent our heart if it's hardened from the gospel. And from the sower standpoint, you might almost think it's a waste of throwing the seed there. I threw away good seed on this ground. It's hard, it's packed, there's nothing going to come of it. And we, as we look at this story from the outside in, might even ask the sower, why would you even think of doing it? Was it a waste? Was it a waste? But any one of us can have these hardened hearts, this hardened soil. And probably most of us started out that way before we knew Christ, before we were born again. You know, we had that hard heart. We heard the gospel, people sown into our life, and we tended to reject it a little bit. I know I did. Many years I would reject it. And then finally, through various circumstances, you know, God had been working on my heart. And I finally heard it. God is working through circumstances and people with a view, with a purpose towards your heart and what He can do in it. And getting it ready and conditioned to be able to sow the seed of the gospel in your heart. Sometimes this soil needs to be broken up in order to become soil that's ready for the gospel. And sometimes it takes a hand pick. You know, it takes some effort to break it up, to loosen it up. Sometimes it might take a bulldozer. If your heart should be that hard, it takes a bulldozer. And other times, it could take an earthquake. I mean, serious. You think about some of your lives, and certainly mine. It took an earthquake. Something, some catastrophe has to happen in order to get us to realize, whoa, I am not living life like God wants me to. In my case, I was a drunken driving motorcycle wreck where I nearly died. I'd lost everything by this point. Now my only possession was wrecked. You know, that's how far it took an earthquake to shake me up, to make me realize that I needed the gospel, that I needed Jesus. And then when we start, you know, from the sower's perspective, he applies this, this effort to break up this hard ground. And what can happen after that? Well, the ground is broken up. It's got some clods. It's still kind of rough. It looks like maybe out there a little bit. And what needs to be done? I mean, if it's just left sitting there, what happens to it? It's just kind of still unusable, right? But then another approach would be to start breaking it up more. Start working that soil. Start break it into small pieces and add things into it, building and conditioning that soil. And then something can happen. Then it might be getting ready for the seed of the gospel. So if you have a hardened heart, if your heart represents that pathway, that hard soil, and you see these catastrophes coming your way, these circumstances. Consider that it might be God working in your life. You know, all of us probably have friends or family or relatives that crazy things have happened to them. And you wonder, how could they possibly be alive? How could they survive that? You know, what's God doing there? And that may be exactly what he's doing. He's trying to break up that hard ground. Well, he mentions the next one, which is the rocky ground. And rocky soil is really marginal for growing. Rocks have to be picked up and moved. In the old days, when they had to do it by hand, they would pick up these rocks and they'd move them to the border or the boundary of their property. And they'd make little fences even out of these rocks. So so they could get the soil ready to plant. You know, if you consider it, there are maybe three different kinds of rocky soil. One is where there's a small layer of soil, and it's over top of bedrock. So if you penetrate through that soil, you're going to hit just this solid rock, bedrock. And if you're planting in that kind of condition, you know, the plants will go in and they'll start to spring up pretty quickly. And you'll think, oh boy, I got a great garden going. But then once the roots get down to that bedrock, there's nothing more for them. And then they start to die off. And we can find ourselves in that place too. We receive the gospel with great joy. You know, we're loving it, we're happy, we are acknowledging, wow, where was I all this time? Why wasn't I listening? This is great. I needed this. But then some of the troubles come along in life, maybe some of our old friends come back, and we start to drift away. We're kind of like that plant that the roots hit the bedrock. We just start wilting, and we die off. Well, there's this other kind of rocky soil, and it's boulder strewn. You know, we have to get those boulders out of there. We have to move them. They have all different kinds of sizes. And if you go out hiking in the mountains here, you'll see a lot of that kind of soil. And they have certain plants that are doing okay, but a lot of times you'll just see a face, you know, much like we see here. There's stuff growing in it, but it's not really going to produce anything of great wealth. I mean, great use. In other words, you're not getting much of a crop out of it. You're just getting a few scraggly things growing in there. And we may find that that's the condition of our heart. You know, some of the word is getting into us, and there's a few little sprouts or twigs or things growing, but it's not an abundant crop. It's not something that is drawing people to it. It's not something that draws us through the flowers of the plant or the fruit of the plant. And maybe we find in ourselves that we're like that. You know, the Word of God is meaningful to us, but it's not really everything to us. You know, it's one thing that's good among many. And we may find ourselves getting a little bit of fruit from the Word, a little bit of change in our life, but we have all these other things that we're paying attention to. And those maybe have more influence than the Word of God. So that might be the kind of soil that our heart is.
How about your head? Not the rock here.
Yeah. We got a solution. We got a pick out there.
Better be real hard.
And another kind of rocky soil is the gravelly soil. You know, it's, and this is very common in Colorado, just a lot of gravel. And you can see plants will grow there. They'll grow, but they don't thrive. They're only so big. Because what happens is all the nutrients in the water go into the gravel and just soaks through and just drains right through. The soil, the nutrients, the water just drains right through. So the plant is not getting enough. You know, maybe even the roots, say in the bouldery ground, they just go down and they worm their way through the boulders trying to find the nutrients, and they're not quite finding enough so that the plant is very, just a single stalk kind of plant instead of branching out, leaping out, getting real full, getting other plants all around it. You know, it's kind of a vertical shallowness instead of branching out and things growing around it. And we might find that our faith is like that too. Maybe we're that gravelly soil. The word is coming in, but it doesn't stick. It just drains through. You know, maybe we're like the bedrock, where the word comes in and it's there with us for a while, but then we drift away. Or it may come in to our heart and it's all gravelly. And the problem there is we hear the word, but it doesn't stay with us. So we revert back to our ways of the world, and we're never learning the lesson. We keep coming back, making mistakes over and over. We come in, we get fed, we go back out, we forget what we just heard because it's drained away. You know, these are the things that we see in the rocky soil. You know, the sowers that sow the seed in this rocky soil, they are pretty persistent. They have to endure long seasons of sowing with very few results. And it's frustrating if you're a sowing type of person. You know, the fascinating thing about this, all these different kinds of soil, is, you know, there's a sower. Each of us are playing a different part. Our hearts are a part of the soil, but we're also playing the role of the sower. We're not always just receiving. We should be sowing as well. And we begin to experience what it's like to be a sower on these different kinds of soil. Yeah. One of the values of this parable that Jesus gives us is it gives us an understanding of the different kinds of soil and the different kinds of people's hearts that we're sowing into. You know, why is that seed? I keep preaching the word, I keep loving it, we keep sharing, I'm doing this thing, and it just bounces off like I didn't even do it. Well, we understand. You know, I spend time with this person, I'm discipling them, and, you know, it seems like 1 week they got it, and then next week they're gone. What's up with this? So we begin to understand what's going on here. And if we can take this real simple word picture of the four kinds of soil, we begin to understand, well, what do I need to do? And it's we work on conditioning the soil of their heart. So depending on what kind of soil they are, we'll kind of dictate what we need to do. The care and feeding. The things that are necessary, the water, the fertilizer, what's necessary. Well, we have the thorny soil. This one could be really, really frustrating, really tricky. The soil looks good, and we work it, and we plant, and we put that seed in. And it's starting to grow, and we're going, yeah, all right, this is exciting. I'm seeing the plant grow. But then all of a sudden you see some other strange plants in there. And you're not quite sure, at least for me anyway, you know, which one's the weed, which one's the plant I want, you know? And then you keep growing, and pretty soon the weeds start growing faster than the plant we want. And those weeds and those thorns start taking over. So if we're not pulling those thorns and weeds out of there, we lose the plants that we're seeking. And, you know, I can just imagine the sower who's sowing the seed in the thorny soil is going, am I dreaming things? What happened here? I know I planted this one kind of plant, but there's these other plants here. Where'd they come from? You know, Jesus tells us that there's these two kinds of weeds that will spring up in this type of soil. And what is the worries of the world?
Oh, yes.
How many have that weed they have to deal with? You know, weed killer. That's what we need. Weed killer.
Right here, I need gallons.
Worries of the world. It's Matthew 6 is your word, weed killer.
Okay, Matthew 6, got it.
Seek ye first.
Okay.
Seek ye first God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto us. But the worries of the world, I mean, they're real. They're things that we're in the world, things we have to deal with. You know, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? Are we going to live in our car? Or are we going to get a camper?
What are you going to eat when your wife's out?
Yeah. Joel had some answer though. Yes. He has a great scheme.
Step over to your house. Yeah.
Just happened to be about dinner time.
I know.
I'm coming over to minister to your kids. Oh, there's dinner here. Oh.
Well, I'm not sitting down and going yet.
Cares of the world.
But they're real. And the other thing is the seduction of wealth or the deceitfulness of riches in the world. You know, do not be tempted to say, I don't have that weed growing in my garden. I don't have that weed growing in my heart. You do not have to be rich to have this weed growing in our garden. We do not have to be living in an upper class area in the city to have to worry about this weed. Because this weed produces greed. You know, greed can get any one of us. We don't actually have to succeed at greed to have greed dealing with us. In other words, we don't have to have accomplished what greed wants us to do, is to gather up more riches and things for us. You know, greed can drive us to wrong behaviors. Greed can be working in our heart. We can begin to covet that which our neighbor has. We can begin to covet what our coworkers have or other people we see in town. And what does greed do to us? It beats us down. We're never happy. It's not so much that if we were to receive the things that would be good or bad. It's just that what's it doing in our heart? We're just not happy. You know, that grass is greener on the other side type of thing. Greed can drive us to criminal behavior. Huh? We can begin to cheat. We can begin to steal. We can begin to get things that don't belong to us and use them in the wrong way. Criminal behavior. And we don't even realize it because it's just sneaking up on us. And when this starts to happen, we cannot serve two masters at one time. You know, Jesus says we'll either hate the one and love the other, or despise that one and follow the other. When we are being consumed by this weed, this greed weed, we will be forced to choose which master we're going to serve. You know, the greed master will suck us in, and we'll start to serve it. And over and over, and pretty soon, your heart's going to say, well, what do I need? You know, I don't need God. I don't need those people at church. I don't need my friends and neighbors. This is what I need. Greed is convincing us to rationalize what we think we want, this master that we're serving. And it's sneaky. It happens a bit by bit, slowly. And pretty soon you're so far away that you don't quite recognize, how did I get over here? And you need that earthquake, right? So the sower of the seed into the thorny ground will say to God, this isn't fair. I sowed this good seed, and all of a sudden I see all this weed growing. Where did they come from? And here's the reality. The reality is the weeds and the brambles are out there all the time. You know, God has put us in this garden, this world, and there are the weeds and the brambles out there. And sometimes the seeds from those can blow into our garden unseen. You know, there's a spiritual realm out there. And it is led by our enemy, Satan. And his desire is to master us. His desire is to destroy us. And he will use unseen things to get into our life. And this is another reason why it's so important for us to dig into the Word of God, to fellowship with brothers and sisters, to pray, to worship, because then we begin to recognize the difference between the good plants and the weeds. We begin to strengthen ourselves whether or not we're going to accept that into our life. But we might ask the question, you know, this thorny ground, maybe it's the sower's fault. Shouldn't he have recognized that he was throwing the seed in the thorny soil? Well, again, it can be difficult. But there's hope, because the solution to this thorny soil is just getting the weeds out of there. And just receiving the nutrients and the things that we need to grow the good plants in our heart, to that fertile soil. We want our heart to become that fertile soil. Satan is taking away all of these good things out of our garden so that the weeds can grow. And we just need to stop that. We need to arrest that. And it's by recognizing that we've kind of drifted away and start serving God. We can't serve two masters. We have to choose. You know, he says, choose this day who you will serve. Well, the last soil is the fertile soil.
On the thorny soil, I have something that, I don't know where it got from, but for even the gardener grows more in the garden than just the seed he has sown.
Yeah. So the fertile soil, Jesus describes this. What does the fertile soil look like? You know, sometimes we need to know what things look like in order to realize it, in order to become that, in order to head in that direction. They're the ones that hear the word. They understand the word. And they do the word. They're not hearers only, but they do the word, and it bears fruit in their lives. We listen and we hear the words of Jesus. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. If you have too much noise in your life, too much distraction, it's going to keep you from being able to hear Jesus, from hearing the Spirit speaking to you.
Amen.
The fertile heart, the fertile soil knows the word that's coming. They know that it's communication from God. They understand the word. You know, that's part of why we come here. We look into Scripture. We talk about it, we share with one another, we begin to have understanding. But it's a spiritual word, it's a spiritual understanding, and it requires a spiritual heart. And that's gained from becoming born again. God gives us a new heart. And we begin to be able to understand the word of God. Otherwise, it just seems like foolishness to us. So the fertile soil is looking ready, it's looking good, it receives the seed that's planted. But just putting the seed in the soil is not enough. It can't just sit there. Something has to happen. That seed has to die. That seed has to die so that the plant can come up. And the plant needs water, fertilizer, sunlight, and warm temperature. So there's things that need to be put added to that seed in the soil. The soil is ready. It takes the fertile soil. So our heart needs to be fertile, needs to be ready. But it takes more than just having fertile soil heart. And when a seed germinates. And when this plant's growing in the fertile soil, and there's just the kind of plants that we've planted that we want, and it's starting to reach out, and more plants are growing, it's getting all nice and lush, kind of like this picture up here. Then what happens? We begin to have the fruit from it, the flower from it. It begins to attract others, and we start seeing it fill in. And that's when we have an abundant garden. So we've looked at the four kinds of soil. And the question before us is, what kind of soil is my heart? What kind of soil is my heart? When you begin to answer that question, it will give you an idea of what needs to be happening in your life. It might even explain some things, why things are happening in your life. You know, God is not distant from us. He sees what's going on. He knows. He's in charge. He's directing circumstances and things around, all for a purpose to draw us closer to Him. That's what He wants. He wants our relationship with Him.
You feel like you have more than one soil.
So, you know, do you have a garden with different kinds of soil in it?
Well, I feel like maybe I'm a little thorny and maybe a little fertile. And just being honest.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you feel like you got more than soil going on.
You know, maybe that's that transition stage from one type of soil to another. You know, that would be a good word picture of sanctification. We don't all of a sudden, the first day we're born again, become a mature Christian.
Right, absolutely.
You know? Things have to be planted in us and worked in us. So I think even the fact that we can, you know, look at ourselves and try to see where we're at, and then we know where we need to be going. We know where we came from.
Absolutely.
I was once hard soil.
Yeah.
Well, and don't
well,
you think...
The soil's still fertile.
Yeah. And don't you think, too, that it could be also different areas of our life, like in one area, we're really good. You might have like super fertile soil in this one area, but then there's this like little piece that you're kind of hanging on to that's still maybe a little bit rocky or hard. And when we can start looking at it and recognizing it, it gives us maybe that focus of, okay, I've conditioned this soil and it's all ready to go, but there's this little area over here in the corner of my heart that's still hard. And that's the area I need to work on breaking up and
keep pulling the weeds.
And dealing with.
Well, that's I think that's exactly correct, because there's parts of my life that I feel fertile soil, but
absolutely.
You know, I know that there's some thorny areas. I stole a tree here a few weeks ago. I said on Facebook, did you guys see that? It's like I took it. I was there at the job, and it just seemed like, well, gosh, there's like lots of them about 4 foot tall. And it's like no reason why I shouldn't just grab one of these on the way out. And I did. And I'm driving away from the job site, and it's like, boom! I barely even drive. The Holy Spirit was just like, just clean my clock. It's like, you stole that tree. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. You took it without permission. That's stealing. And I was thinking about it all day long. But also, you know, you never do one sin at a time, okay? Because there was a sin of taking it and not thinking straight in seriously thorny soil. But then there's the sin of also deception. When I was smart enough to go, I'll take a bucket of soil and I'll put it alongside the tree, dig the tree up, and then scoot it over and cover the hole. So seriously thorny, okay? So it's like, man, and the Holy Spirit was like nuking me on the way home, and it's like, well, okay, I gotta contact this lady and ask her if I can have it. And then this lady has been a lady that's just, we email her, and I mean, you know, 10 minutes later she contacts us back. I got the bucket, I got the tree sitting there in the bucket, and I'm not sure if I got to drive 20 miles out, 20 miles back, and take the excavator back out there and go get her to cut and pick a tree back. And my wife comes to me and goes, what are you going to do? You, what are you going to do now?
And I said, I don't know, but that tree and that excavator are dying, and I haven't heard back from this later, from this lady, so it's going to cost me $100 for a lousy tree, because I'm going to have to go get her a live tree and go plant it for her. and she goes, and my wife then didn't think it was funny at all. So then I was like, well, you know, I might as well plant the tree, and this is going to be my tree of the knowledge of good and evil. and so I planted it. I didn't bother putting any fertilizer on. I didn't plant it because I want that tree to go away. And I planted the tree, and the Holy Spirit's like, I'm going to have that tree forever for you. I'm going to see that tree as long as you own this property, because I want you to understand that you have to do what's right.
That's good.
Seriously, thorn in soil.
Seriously.
But it's still fertile.
Sorry about that.
That's a great illustration. And it kind of leads me to the closing point here is when we gather together like this, we have the soil of our heart, but we're also sowers. And so when we gather, you might be coming in and you might have that pitchfork on my heart, you know, trying to break up that hard ground. You might be watering the seed that was planted. You might have to be picking or chopping. And we just do that together. This is part of the fellowship. We're building one another up. We're helping each other with the soil of our heart. We're receiving and we're sowing.
So we're not only the sheep barn, we're the community garden.
There we go.
Obi.
I don't know what kind of soil I am, but I've been hit by lightning twice and survived it.
Right, you're resilient soil.
Yeah.
Wow. And so somewhere along the line...
Whoa. He whispered to me, he's well-grounded.
Sorry. So somewhere along the line, God has to come along and water us, water the plants, and then he shines the sun on us. And we receive that sunshine. All right, well, praise God.
Yes.
All right, anyone have any other comments to add in before we move into prayer?
The lady said I could have it.
Thank you.
John.
Well, for me, I blatantly tried to sin the other day. I really did. I'm being straight up about it because that's what sets you free is when you announce or broadcast to everybody what you're doing, because then the devil doesn't have any stronghold against you. It didn't matter what the sin was, but some sins do not lead to death. But nevertheless, the Holy Spirit of God Almighty does not let me sin. I just couldn't do it. And I just finally came to a point to repent, ask for forgiveness, and moved on. And I'm just praising the Lord for that, because it's just, I see how he's working in my life.
That's fertile soil.
That's
not
everything else is like.
That's fertile soil, right?
That's fertile soil.
Yeah. Nice story.
Right. I blatantly tried to sin, I'm being straight up. So take it however you want to, but when God Almighty is working in your life, he will not even let you sin. It's just incredible.
That's awesome.
Great, man.
All right. Well, let's gather around and pray for one another.